right, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Blindside Blitz. I'm Jim McPhee, and of course, alongside me is Mr. Joe DiCapita.
What's going on, Blitz Nation? Welcome back for another edition and another NFL dose for you guys out there. We are brought to you by grumblingsmedia.com. You can head over there to their website. Make sure you can check out all their political, entertainment, and sports podcasts that they have available to you. Also, do us a huge favor. Head over to YouTube. Make sure you hit that subscribe button on Grumblings Media landing page and hit those thumbs up. Also, don't forget to share because sharing is caring, and we are live right now. So comment down below. We will react to your comments out there, whether it be a question or just an opinion. It's all good, baby. And also, you can take us on the go anywhere you get your podcasts, Apple, Google, Spotify, and Pandora.
Yeah, that's right. And we do have the QR code. So if you are lazy and don't want to go to any of those places on your own, just scan the barcode. Scan the QR code right there with your phone, and that'll take you right to grumblingsmedia.com right where you can catch it all. All right. So there you go. Joe, week one did not let us down, I guess.
Yeah.
To an extent, they did. There were ups and downs. It was all over. Usually, we do terrible in the picks week one, but we actually curved it up pretty good, you know, after a couple crazy early games.
We did. So what I'll say is I feel like we did good for week one, and not a lot of, like, you know, unexpected things that transpired, and teams that we thought were going to be good fell on their face and vice versa. Like, so I'll say overall we did good. We did okay, in my opinion, but I think we could have done so much better. Like, mm-hmm. But that's the thing week one, you are still trying to figure out what, like, we have a general consensus of everybody knows the Ravens, the Chiefs, like all the Lions, like all those teams they're all going to be competitive. They're all they're the winners. They're on the forefront mm-hmm. of winning, but everybody else is kind of up in the air. Like, how good did they actually get? Did they get better? Like the Vikings and Giants game, a lot of people across the board thought that was going to be a very close game and it was going to go down to the wire and whatever team made the least amount of mistakes was going to win it. Mm-hmm. And it was, to a lot of people's shock, like, not so much me, but, like, everybody was surprised on how well Sam Darnold played.
We suck again! Yeah.
I understand all that, but that's the thing, is when you go through week one, you're going to see scores that you're like, huh. And then you're going to see scores you're like, wow, that team turned it up. So it's like, and then there's going to be some surprises, right? Like, look at the Packers and Eagles game. That was a great game. And I will say this. I will commend the NFL for the first time ever in a week one primetime game schedule. They nailed it. Every primetime game for week one was amazing. It was an awesome matchup. They were fun to watch, and it went right down to the end. So, I got to say this. I know we harp on the refs a lot. Mm-hmm. But we're going to do it again because, oh, my God, how bad
that is one big pile of shit.
Was the referees in week one? Now, I get it because for refs, it's just like the players out there. If you don't have enough practice, if you don't have enough, you know, routine and everything that you go through, you're going to be a little rusty. You're going to be a little sloppy out there. Mm-hmm. And the referees were definitely, definitely sloppy. Like, every single game, there was terrible penalties being called that probably shouldn't have been called. Then on the other side, there was, like, penalties that were just being let – they would just let it happen and didn't throw a flag. So, man, bad week for the referees. And then some teams, it was just really sloppy gameplay. Mm-hmm. And we did talk about that, about the preseason. Uh-huh. They're wanting to get rid of another game. They want to bring it down to two preseason games. This is what you get in the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. It's going to get better over time, but, man, it was sloppy for a lot of teams across the board.
Yeah, especially the teams that rested a lot of their star players, especially at the quarterback position. You saw that. That was inevitable here for the first week. You saw it right out there with a couple of the games. We're kind of going to go over a couple of them here that were kind of highlights here. And a couple other topics, and then we'll get to our picks in a little bit because we do have we're going to try and wrap this up pretty quick because I know The presidential debates are going to be coming up here at 9 o'clock, so we don't.
So
want
if
to
you,
stop
guys
you guys
have any comments, make sure you drop them below because we are live.
Yeah,
we're
let's debate out here right now. Let's do
let's
it.
Go.
All right. So Thursday night game.
Yeah,
got to
start off
game.
With that. Good game.
You know, the Baltimore Ravens again had an opportunity to put these guys away. The Chiefs multiple times.
Yep.
And the big question here, well, there's a few different things here, but mm-hmm. not a lot of Derrick Henry in this game getting involved in the game here, especially when you go and bring the guy in. He's got to be kind of like one of your bigger stars to get you there. Lamar Jackson running for his life, total of 395 total yards, one passing touchdown in the loss to the Chiefs 27-20. But he did get hit multiple times here, and now he wasn't at practice this week so far. And kind of a John Harbaugh is kind of just like throwing it out there. He's like, well, some guys, you know, it's had personal days off, some, you know, some injuries mm-hmm. and stuff. So he didn't really give anybody an answer on this. But even if Lamar is injured or not, in that game, he had the pivotal moment to win the game for them and let his team down once again.
I'll say this. He did exactly what he was supposed to do the first time around and run. That was something that we needed to see him do more against the Chiefs. And that, again, they didn't have an answer for it. And that's really what was tripping him up. Now, that being said, the other part of his game that has been lacking is passing. And I have to ask the NFL out there, this is your MVP of last year. This is the guy you chose to be MVP. Over all the other candidates, this guy had a very, very hard time throwing the football and getting it to his receivers, getting it to his weapons. Yes, there was a few plays that he got it to, you know, Isaiah Likely. He got it to Mark Andrews a couple times. You know what I mean? And Zay Flowers in the very beginning, you're like, oh, this is the offense we need to see. After the first drive, what happened? And you mentioned Derrick Henry, the lack of usage of Derrick Henry, and honestly, it's because of in-game adjustments. They knew that when Derrick Henry was in there, they were loading the box. They were not going to allow Derrick Henry to get very much space, for one, mm-hmm. and for two, to get any production going, because they knew that the Ravens were going to rely on Henry to kind of slowly start them on the ground, and that's going to open up the pass. And they wanted to make a point, like, no, you're not going to do that. We're going to force Lamar Jackson to throw the football. And if he gets out, if he gets away from us, that's on us. But we're going to that's the game plan. Make him throw the ball. Make him beat us with his arm. Guess who couldn't show up to the party? Lamar Jackson could not deliver when it came down to distributing the football as a passer. And he was missing guys that were wide open down the field. There was several times throughout that game where guys were wide open and he just airmailed it, just overthrew them by like 5-7 yards at a rip. So no issues with the defense. Ravens defense played it awesome. They were great. And then on the other side for the Chiefs, I got to say again, we talk about how bad the refs are. I know it's the Chiefs. I know those are their mm-hmm. best friends, but are you kidding me with Jamar Taylor again? The guy not only was getting penalty after penalty, mm-hmm. but also when he started to not line up with his helmet across the waistline of the center, they stopped calling it against him. They called mm-hmm. it against the Ravens
mm-hmm.
all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But the Chiefs, they called it a couple times, and then they just stopped. Mm-hmm. Guy was like moving before the snap, like – ball starting like crazy. It was a sloppy game, and we saw on both teams that everything wasn't – nobody played their A game.
Yeah.
Even Patrick Mahomes, he had a couple picks.
He did.
Like, listen, got to be careful when we put these players on pedestals. Like, listen, I know it's week one, and all of these players are going to get better as we go on, mm-hmm. but this is the product that you're going to get in the very early stages of the season, because – They aren't doing two-a-days anymore. They're not hitting with pads every single week, every single day of the week. You know what I mean? They're not being allowed to go through the repetitions and to prepare their bodies for the physicality that is the NFL game. So, I don't know. I know I went on a little bit of a rant there with that game, but there was a lot to get to. There was a lot to get to.
Oh, man. Yeah, definitely. But overall, a good game. And like you said, multiple times during the game, but then again, when it was crunch time, what really matters, you know, he had a guy wide open, threw it behind him, and then forced to throw that ball in between the two guys to where likely just barely a toe off, you know, out of bounds.
Dude,
so
just keep your legs where they were.
Loss, but they should have won that game.
Just keep your legs where they were. When right. he jumps up, his leg is right where it needs mm-hmm. to be. When he comes down, for mm-hmm. some reason, he moved his leg outward.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the
amazing
difference.
Sometimes with some of these guys. Some guys, like you saw with the Rams game, Cooper Kupp, knowing the toe drag swag, clearly to make sure that he's in. And some guys don't. We saw it last night with the 49ers and Jets game. I think it was Garrett maybe or somebody that didn't do the toe drag at all. They could, and they stepped out of bounds. He was nonchalantly on an out route, got it, and then just out. You know, like, well, now was the time you needed to reel it in. You know, when a game time mattered, you know, to try and get back into that game.
Right.
And there you go. And that's the difference between winners and losers.
Mm-hmm.
So the Green Bay Packers game in Brazil. The Philadelphia Eagles, we're going to talk about another team that coming out sluggish a little bit, except for Saquon Barkley was a nice highlight for them. You know, he was running hard and looking good.
Yeah,
and Green Bay doing really well. But, again, now Jordan Love injured for multiple weeks, and that is the key here for this team. But, I mean, I won't even say that, you know, like, oh, what could they, traded for Malik Willis, because that's not very good either. So they have a rough couple of weeks coming up and moving forward.
Well, here's the thing with Malik Willis. They haven't even been able to work with him.
Mm-hmm.
Only 1 week.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're going to have to, like, kind of speed feed him the playbook or probably scale it way down to where you're only going to be limited to a few plays. So that's kind of dangerous for the offense. And then, you know, he just can't make mistakes next week. If he's going to be the guy that they are, in fact, going to roll with, that's what it sounds like, then they're definitely going to have to rely on Josh Jacobs. Hopefully they can get a running game going, because that game against the Eagles, they spent a lot of money to bring in that Josh Jacobs kid. They spent a lot of money in him.
Yeah.
And I get it. Like, he was, you know, worth getting raised and all that, but he's a good player, but he can't do everything. Your offensive line, your young offensive line, is supposed to step up and create rushing lanes. So that's something that was lacking. Jordan Love was struggling too in his second year as the Packers starter, and was missing guys often. And people were kind of wondering, like, what is it? Well, it's pressure. The Eagles put a lot of pressure on Jordan Love, and he was never comfortable in the pocket after that. And that really did affect him. And I know people are like, oh, well, he's supposed to remain poised and he's supposed to, like, kind of oversee. Dude, have you ever been, like, in those shoes? Have you ever been with a rush coming at you and you get hit randomly? Like, he was getting hit after throws.
Mm-hmm.
Just like a little, like, hey, reminder. Hey, we're coming. We're going to be here next snap, you know? So that definitely looked like it really affected him, and it showed up on the football field. The Packers defense, I'm impressed. I understand they lost the game,
yeah.
But I got to say, the Packers' defense looked really good, like really good. Rashawn Gary finally healthy. Hopefully he stays healthy, but you're starting to see some younger guys step up, and it's good to see that they're really starting to play well. And the Eagles, we already knew how good they were. We already knew that they were the team to beat in the NFC, or at least one of them, right? So I expected them to get the win, and it was close. But, again, there was some wrinkles in the Eagles' offense with Jalen Hurts not being able to connect all the time. And although I think the Eagles' defense played much better than last season, there were some occasions where the communication was lacking. But, again, it is week one. We'll see if that kind of works itself out. But again, great game.
Mm-hmm.
Mistakes by both teams, but in the end, you know, we got a decent game on our hand.
Yep, absolutely. So again, there you go. Sunday, my birthday, had a good time. A lot of football to watch, so it was very exciting, and a lot of different types of games here. some comeback victories, some games that didn't even have touchdowns.
How about the Patriots and Bengals game?
But that game, again, it's funny because I talked about this last week.
You said it was a trap game.
Yeah, it was a trap game, and you kind of laughed, and I laughed too. But again, I said I would not be surprised if they get a slow start because they've done this every single year, at least for the last 3 years. Kind of lose to some of these teams that you don't expect them to lose to and kind of get a slower start and then kind of turn around the second half. And more of that this week, even with Ja'Marr Chase coming back.
So something that was a glaring problem for the Bengals, no Joe Mixon.
Mm.
Like, I'm sorry, Zach Moss isn't the guy.
Yeah, well, Zach Moss isn't the guy, right?
Like, I mean,
kind of shows you right there.
This is kind of like the same thing as there's a couple other teams that
and look who he did perform for, Joe Mixon.
Yeah, there's a couple other teams that didn't spend the money in that department, mm-hmm. and they're trying to get by with the cheap route or whatever, and it's not paying off. Mm-hmm. And Bengals were one of those teams. The Patriots, I could not believe this game. I watched this game. I couldn't believe what I was watching.
Right.
Like, Joe Burrow was struggling mightily, and the offense, the pass pro, are you mm-hmm. kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
It's like the Bengals were like the Patriots O-line in preseason.
Right.
It looked terrible.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, something's got to change. And I know you mentioned how the Bengals struggle in week one, you know, pretty much historically. But, man, it can't be like that in week two. Otherwise, the Bengals got a really long year to go through.
Oh, yeah, I know. And it's like you said, they kind of flip-flopped. You know, in the preseason, we saw the Patriots again, where Jacoby Brissett even got injured. Inept, you know, not able to do anything. And this time they got the ground game going. You know, Lamondre Stevenson was getting it done. And like you said, the defensive side was able to get pressure on Joe Burrow and everything. Mm-hmm. And again, every time he changes his hairstyle, though, too, you know, how about that?
Keon White had a couple sacks in that game, showing up saying, "I'm the new dog
in
town."
I'm the new guy, right? Yeah, absolutely. And what about the Chicago Bears game? How about that? You know, the victory. Despite, you know, Caleb Williams not doing anything at all, you know what I mean? And it was funny as when we were watching the, what was it? I think it was Monday night's game, or maybe Sunday. It was Sunday night football, right? They're trying to tell you guys and prop up the next week's game with Bears. C.J. Stroud and the Bears. And they're like, these two quarterbacks going at it. Then they actually bring up the stats, and they're like, oh, this guy did this today, and this guy, well – actually, it was funny, too, because he's even like, I think Mike Tirico was like, he didn't do so hot. Then he's like, actually, he didn't do very good at all.
Yeah.
I'm like dying.
Because what are you going to say? You put the stats up there. You're better off not putting stats up and just say, these two quarterbacks are going to duel that out next week, you know.
But Tennessee and just, again, Will Levis, though, they're
screwing
the game up. Again, time and time again, it's one of those things you ask yourself, get inside the head of these quarterbacks when they're going down. Like, what tells you to shovel pass or throw this when I'm out to the corner? You know what I mean? We don't even see the guy kind of like the hit, go down. Something.
The
like
thing
this.
Is,
the turnovers are terrible.
Is he couldn't be able, he wasn't able to throw. If he was able to throw, it goes right out of bounds, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that you tried to pitch it out of bounds,
mm-hmm.
but you pitched it in the same area where your receiver was and the corner was standing right next to him. So, that is a very, very poor decision. Obviously, we know that, right? Mm-hmm. We've seen it. But at the same time, it's like, dude, take the sack, put the punting team out there, let them punt the ball, and then let the defense try to get the ball back for you. You had a one-point lead mm-hmm. at that time.
Mm-hmm.
You still had the lead. Well, I know it was only 1 point, but you still had the lead. And what's to say if you're if you punt it, you get – the defense goes out there, maybe they shut them three and out, and then you get the ball back, and then another opportunity to try to score again. But by doing what he did, critical mistake, brain-dead mistake, Will Levis is definitely not going to – he's definitely going to hear this all week long from mm-hmm. whether it be questions at the pressers or his teammates – you know, joking with him and stuff, but like it's going to bother him all week until he gets back out there next Sunday and prove that like, hey, I'm not going to make that same mistake again.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this is a game where the Titans had the game in their clutches. They had it won. And then Will Levis made his own mistake, and that kind of cost him the game.
Mm-hmm. All right, we got back to the Stone Age.
What's up, Stone Age?
With us tonight. All right, he says, yo, everyone knows the Bengals are like MILFs. They start off slow, but tend to finish hot. And Joe Cool forever, baby. Man. Back to the Stone Age. Always keeping it real.
Really? The analogy is kind of perplexing a little bit.
I like that. We should always have like a Back to the Stone Age quote every single time.
Well, my thing is like MILFs, like, they start out.
He's like the Chris Collinsworth of like, comments.
I don't know. It's a little weird.
Oh, boy. But yeah.
If MILF is usually hot right away, it's not really later on.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Anyway.
So again,
real quick, we gotta announce how the Panthers still suck a lot.
Wow. I mean, I thought the Saints were gonna win, but they demolished. They were running on all cylinders.
Derek Carr
looked amazing.
This was Derek Carr's coming out party in terms of like, hey, look, I'm a really good quarterback. I understand they played the Panthers.
Yes.
You gotta take that with a grain of salt, right?
Yeah.
But still, execution, you know, it was all there, and the new offensive coordinator, Clint Kubiak, it showed up. That offense was not stagnant. That offense was very creative. They utilized everybody, and they really took it to the Panthers. Bryce Young, once again, I don't know. It looks really dim for the Panthers for the future of this club.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it was a total blowout, not even close. And we thought it wasn't going to be close, honestly. But we didn't expect it to be 47 points.
Yep.
So that's crazy.
Yep. In another tight game, really exciting game to watch, the Houston Texans and the Indianapolis Colts. Colts started off hot, and then the Texans started to reel it back in, pull out the victory here. Richardson looked pretty good. He don't have that deep ball there, kind of just launching it when there's pressure on him for the touchdown.
He's got a cannon.
But, yeah, a little bit for him to learn here still moving forward. But what a good game.
He looks good, though.
You know, so, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's great. I can't wait till the next matchup. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
But, again, Stephon Diggs, get right involved in this offense. We saw
that
with,
that was
with the Texans. And, like we said, Joe Mixon looking great, baby. You know, so right there. It's like, dude, why did they let him go? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, this game had it all. Like, this was one of those great games that you wanted to watch. A lot of, you know, high-flying plays, like a lot of highlight reels and everything that were being created in this game, and it was in both sides. Like, there was some good defensive plays, but then the offense kind of took over on both teams. It was a lot. It was awesome to watch. And C.J. Stroud, in mid-season form, in his second year, mind you, with all those weapons and man, things look really good in Houston. That's all I got to say. Great game. I do like what the Colts were able to do. I like Anthony, what he was able to show up. He didn't make too many mistakes. He limited his mistakes, and it's got to be promising for Colts fans anyway. Let's see what they can do in week two.
Yeah, definitely. Jacksonville got up to an early lead again, but Miami was able to reel that one back in, get back involved in the game. And Tyreek Hill really with that big launch, you know, the big run down the sidelines to help solidify that win right at the end to help set up, you know, when they got the ball back for that field goal here later on. But tough game. We know about what went down early on before the game. Able to pull out the victory after Trevor Lawrence, again, kind of not very good numbers here. You know, one touchdown, 57%, 162 yards. But still, their defense looks really good still, I think, Joe. And that's what kept them in this game.
And that's the only thing they have going for them. We talked about it in the offseason. I'm not high on Trevor Lawrence. I don't think he's the right guy. And he keeps making mistakes. And it shows with this Jaguars offense, like, when he's not playing well, this offense struggles big time. You only put up 17. You should have put up a lot more than that in this game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, very disappointing outcome for the Jaguars. For the Dolphins, again, I'm not ecstatic about the Dolphins opener because, again, it took them how long to get the offense rolling?
Yeah, slow.
You know, I mean, come on. Like, you guys are supposed to be the Ringling Circus here. You know, Barnum and Bailey Circus. You're supposed to be like the high-flying, tightrope walking offense of the NFL, and we didn't see that this week. It was only 20 points you guys scored. We're used to seeing you guys score 30 or more. But I don't know, maybe they'll turn it up next week. We'll have to wait and see for that one. Another close game, too, was the Steelers and Falcons. That was a heavily defensive played game on both sides. Falcons and their new additions, Matt Judon and company, and then the Steelers and what they have. I mean, they've always had a decent defense. My thing in that game was like, dude, you have Kirk Cousins. He's not that mobile. Why didn't you double team TJ Watt? Mm-hmm. Like, he would just had a free for all in the backfield almost every snap.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, what was the thinking with the game plan? Yeah, we got TJ Watt. Yes, he just wreaks havoc. Guess what? We're just going to block him man to man. Why?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that was a big difference in that game. And then, again, there was not a lot of offense on either side. Justin Fields made his mistakes as a starter. Mm-hmm. Kirk Cousins made his mistakes. Yep. He threw two picks, I think?
I think
something
so.
Like that.
I
but,
know.
Like, again,
the one was crucial.
The turnovers. Mm-hmm. It's going to kill you. And when you're in a tight game, you just can't make them. And the Falcons just didn't do enough to come out on top. And the funny thing is the Steelers didn't score touchdowns.
Yeah, two INTs.
They scored field goals.
Yes.
All game.
Yeah, exactly.
Like craziness.
Yes.
So that was that game. Yeah, so as you can see, every game was a little bit different from each other.
Mm-hmm.
And there was some surprises. Like, how about the Cardinals and Bills?
How about the Cardinals jumping on top? I didn't see that one coming either. Again, we talked about, their offense is probably their better part of their game, but the defense, again, holds it the Bills. And then Josh Allen, turned back into Josh Allen and started putting it on his shoulders and leaping all over people and stiff-arming and things like that and getting in the end zone. But lucky to pull out a win like that because, once the season gets going and they play some of these other tougher teams, and want to make that push for the Super Bowl, they got to beat teams like the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, but that's the thing. We brought that up about how the Bills defense is not the same Bills defense that we're accustomed to. Mm-hmm. And they're missing players. We know Matt Milano, yet again, going to be gone for the season, captain of the defense. But then there's other pieces, especially on the D-line, that's very different. They got Ed Oliver, but outside of him, there's nobody that's really that good. Sorry, Bills fans, but the truth is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And it showed in that game. They just don't have all the dogs that they used to have. And they've tried to replace them, but, again, just not good enough. And the Cardinals were able to exploit that in this game, and that's why they put up the numbers that they did and had 28 points in this game.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a scary game for the Bills. I know that for sure. It was all Josh Allen.
Yep.
Josh Allen took it on his shoulders, started running the ball a lot more, scoring like that. Mm-hmm. And he actually he carried this team to a win. It was insane.
Mm-hmm. All right, next I wanted to bring up the Cleveland game again. That was a disappointment because that offense seemed like they couldn't get anything done at all.
Right.
Like all phases of it, running, passing, whatever. Deshaun Watson was getting pressure nonstop, though, too.
No.
And then when he did, and I mean, still, again, throwing in the dirt, just not on the same page with guys. And Dallas pretty much had their way with him the whole time. Mm-hmm. That defensive line was getting it. Even saw a DeMarcus Lawrence sighting.
There was a sighting.
A sighting.
Yes.
A little bit.
That'll probably be the only one we get to see this year.
Yep. But not a good game for Deshaun Watson and the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, it's funny how that worked out. Oh, Jedrick Wills is not playing. Oh, DeMarcus Lawrence shows up against the backup tackle. That's funny how that works. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you're right. Deshaun Watson had a bad game. The Cleveland Browns as a whole had a bad game. Poor in protection. Some of that is attributed to the loss of offensive linemen out there. I get it. But again, you still got to find a way to overcome that. You have to. Whether you bring an extra tight end out there to help with the new tackle or the backup tackle, you got to do something there. So I think offensively, it was a dud for Cleveland. And defensively, what do you expect? I mean, the Cowboys had the lead. They just ran away with it. And at that point in time, when your defense is out there more than your offense, they get tired, and that's the end result. So 33-17 is the final. Cowboys take the first win. of the season, and we'll wait and see if they can continue their winning ways with now all the contracts set aside.
Yes, all of it's set. Can we
just say that Dak Prescott's contract is absolutely absurd?
Yes, yes.
$240 plus million dollars for 4 years, but $230 million of that is guaranteed?
Mm-hmm.
Almost
mm-hmm.
the whole contract? Holy smokes. Yeah. Talk about taking a page out of Kirk Cousins, you know, deal negotiations there. Good God.
Yeah.
An enormous amount locked up, but also guaranteed pretty much.
I'm happy when I'm playing.
Wow.
Yeah. And then
CeeDee Lamb gets his deal. But here's the thing. Here's the kicker. Now that you've given this lump sum of money to Dak, how are you going to pay Micah Parsons?
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to pay Jerron Bland?
Because
you know you want to keep him too. Like, how are you going to pay these players that are going to ask for a lot of money?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's possible.
Yep.
I mean, unless you want to just cut everybody else on the roster.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Like we said, we were always – it's like we were almost the voice in Jerry Jones' ear. Not just us, but everybody. It was like, yeah, get these deals done before everybody else gets theirs done, so it's cheaper for you on this and this. And they're just kind of like, well, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And they just get it done afterwards and paid the most to both guys, you know. Mm-hmm. Again, CeeDee Lamb just a tad under, Justin Jefferson, but still massive deals. And it's like, and he's just okay with that. And you're like, here we go, you know, let's do it. Business as usual. I'm not worried. We told you we got it done. And yeah, like you said, what are they going to do next year going forward? But, again, the pressure now on these guys to perform even greater now because, look, you just paid these guys.
Right.
Dak Prescott still gets a lot of grief because he doesn't win in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I hate to say it again, but this is what that narrative is. You need to win. You need to win this year now. You know what I mean? You're pretty close because you invested all this money in these guys. This is what you have now. So it's go time. I think one of the games here to bring up here, we'll just cover like a couple more. The Rams in Detroit. What a game, Joe. This back and forth. The Detroit Lions not being able to get Amon-Ra St. Brown involved in the offense either. He was just there, you know,
decoy,
blocking and doing what he was doing. But a back and forth game. Puka Nacua goes out early in this game, but Cooper Kupp just took right over. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Getting things done. Matthew Stafford with the no-look throws all over the place. It was just disgusting. but that team looks dangerous too, Joe. I mean, a lot of people forget about the Rams. This game was great. I can't wait to see it in the playoff time when it comes up again because they're gonna see these guys again, and it's going to be another amazing game. Detroit really fortunate to come out of there with that win because – it did look like, again, they had the momentum. They had the chance to lead this game and stay in the lead, but the Rams powered back. Luckily, they were able to get that coin toss and get the ball first in the overtime. And, you know, the regular schedule, regular season overtime rules, different. Yeah. You score that first touchdown first, that's it, it's over. Mm-hmm. They just ran the ball down their throats and powered it right in, Joe.
Yeah, you know, and that's some of the things that we were kind of wondering about is – David Montgomery's still a major factor in that running game for the Lions, you know, and Jahmyr Gibbs, still continuing his receiving threat, even running the football, not just outside the tackles, but inside the tackles. Yeah. People kind of overlook his stature and say, yeah, he's not that physical. No, he's a pretty darn physical dude.
Mm-hmm.
So he can handle the workload there. But also, we saw, like, obviously you mentioned the injuries. Puka's now out.
Yeah.
He's going to be out for 4 to 6 weeks. They put him on a short-term IR.
The offensive
at least
line
4 weeks, he's going to be out.
Too.
Steve Avila, he's going to be out for another 4 weeks at least. So there's going to be several starters, and we saw it this week.
Yeah.
Injuries happened across the board to other players, but you got to step up. You got to find a way. Cooper Kupp did, you know, pick up more of a workload when Puka left the game.
Yep.
You saw that. Another thing, too, that was interesting to me is that the Rams receiving core, it's not utilized the same way as it was last year. You know, DeMarcus Robinson is still kind of out there as like that third option. Now, obviously, he's going to be bumped up.
Yeah.
But guys like Tutu Atwell, I was hoping to see a little bit more of him out there, especially after Puka's injury. But again, we'll have to wait and see how that all transpires as we go into week 2. But again, the Rams looked good. The defense looked good. You know, even the rookies were making some plays out there for the Rams defense. And then the Lions defense, much better.
Yeah.
It got much better with Terry and Arnold, the rookie at the one corner spot for them.
Yeah.
With Davis on the other side.
Yeah.
That's a nice tandem to have. And it seemed like everybody was gelling pretty good with each other. Brian Branch, thank God he's out there, right?
Yeah.
In his rightful position at safety. Yes. Makes a huge difference, not at being asked to come down to play nickel. That's why they got Amik Robertson for. But, yeah, I liked what they did. And Jameson Williams.
Yeah.
We
holy moly.
Listen, I told everybody in fantasy, like, you better pick this guy up. He had one hell of a day.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah. He was getting it done. Big game for him. Next up here, finally, last night, the Jets and the San Francisco 49ers, I kind of said this would kind of be the litmus test to see where the Jets were, and it seems like they're not ready. You know what I mean? Again, that defense didn't really get a lot of pressure there. It looks like the 49ers are able to do what they do, you know, getting the ball out to Debo. You know, he's getting his work in. And how about Mason here getting just the young guy here coming in and getting a big game for him. 49ers able to handle him pretty easily. And it seemed at one point this game, you know, the Jets weren't really into it. Aaron Rodgers missing a lot of throws.
That's what happens when you don't go to practice.
Exactly. Like you said, you talked about it. That's one thing you were concerned about, you know, with him not showing up. And you, like you said, gelling with these guys. Yes, you're a professional. Yes, you've been in the league for a very long time. But it's all about getting that timing down. And the timing was off, and
gotta,
he definitely sucked it up and said that same thing about himself and his, he needs to do better. And that's what we saw here in this game. So they go down by double digits, I think it was. Overall, Jets, you know, I think they could kind of right the ship moving forward.
Yeah, the Jets showed me a lot, though. Like with Aaron Rodgers there, like that definitely gives them a legitimate shot to win any given game. And yeah, there were some blips across, you know, throughout that game, of course, like you mentioned Rodgers, the chemistry wasn't always there for other receivers.
Right.
Garrett Wilson, obviously it's there. Mm-hmm. Like Garrett Wilson, he can throw to all day long because not only is he a phenomenal receiver, but the chemistry's there. You can tell. But everybody else, it's a little off. Even his boy Lazard.
Lazard, they were, you know, on point.
He had a couple of really, I mean, beautiful throws. Like you can't make them any better than that. Again, like you bring up the Jets and how, you know, the defense wasn't creating enough pressure and things of that nature. But again, they don't have the guy Hassan Reddick. You know, that was the whole reason why they did a trade from the Eagles to get him to the Jets. Is if they had him there, not saying that would have changed the game, but at least the defensive line side of it would have had a lot more pressure because they would have had to worry about him as well. And by, losing out on Bryce Huff, not being able to bring him back, now you get Reddick and he's not there, no show. And, oh, my God, the guy's losing a ton of money now. Like, he's holding out in the middle of the regular season. He's already lost somewhere around $5 million in terms of fines and what have you. And he just lost his first game check, which is just under $800,000. Now, how much longer you want to hold out and lose money and get fined? Because that's what's going to continue to happen. Not only are you going to lose money, you're going to lose out on your game check and get fined. I say you show up and collect the money, see if you can still work out a new deal. But this is not the way, man. Losing money hand over fist here.
Yeah, I mean, because we saw Le'Veon Bell do that whole thing and miss out the whole scene and stuff like that. But he was a better athlete and I think a bigger star than Hassan Reddick. I mean, Hassan Reddick's going to be a bit of a, you know, it'll help that defense, but he's not like what I think he believes in his mind and why he's sitting out for a bigger contract. Like he's on the tail end of his career.
I think age wise, sure.
Yes.
But like his production his last couple of years is through the roof.
It's been okay.
I mean, double digit sacks.
No, I hear you there, you know, on that, but
I mean,
still,
that's the reason why they went after him.
No, I get it, but I think he's going to be trending, you know, further towards the tail end after this. I mean, he's on the back nine as opposed to the front nine, as Devontae Adams would kind of say. So that's why I think some of these contracts, these guys that kind of hold out for these things, I think is ridiculous and, you know, preposterous, that he should just show up, stop losing the game checks, and be part of the team. And listen, you got traded to a team that has Aaron Rodgers, and if you work together with this defense, you potentially are a Super Bowl contending team and at least playoff team. You know what I mean? Which he was even with the Eagles. So you really didn't lose much there.
I mean, here's the thing. Last 4 years, he's had double digit sacks.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Really impressive.
No, I know. Really impressive. Turned it on back when he was in
pass
Arizona.
Pass rusher. And mm-hmm. and that's the real deal. Like, yep. He's only 29, too. It's not like he's 33. Mm-hmm. So he still has several years to go before he really kind of dives down, especially as a pass rusher. I think at least two solid years after this year. So really good player. Definitely does deserve to get an extension of some sort in terms of money and whatnot. But again, this is another missing piece for that Jets defense, and this is something that they were counting on to have on week one and just didn't have it. I think the Niners looked sloppy too. They didn't look that great either. Mm-hmm. They didn't look as bad as some other teams, mm-hmm. but there were some instances that you were like, ah, they usually make that play. Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest with you, when I heard the announcement of Christian McCaffrey not playing, mm-hmm. I was like, wait, what? Because I was led to believe, like, I'm expecting Christian McCaffrey to go out there for the Niners.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden the injury news starts popping up, and I'm like, yeah, that could just be hearsay, whatever. And then for him to be inactive on game day, and then you got this kid Mason. Mm-hmm. I think it was George Mason. Is that his name?
Something like that. I can't remember. I knew it.
But man, that kid, it was electric. He was undrafted, Jim.
Yeah, undrafted.
He was a undrafted running back. This is why we say you don't need to use a high pick for a running back. You can find them.
Jordan Mason. Yep, yep.
You just got to do the homework.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, this guy was not even drafted, and it blows my mind that this kid, as good as he is, just nobody figured it out except the Niners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes that's the thing is he's trying to, you know, these finds that they have. You know what I mean? We can find, you know, just, you know, in the back end, you know, who you can draft later on is what your real steals are. I mean, they did with Brock Purdy. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So there we go. We covered the last week. We're going to get into picks in just a little bit. Let us know in the comments, too, anything you guys want to bring up about last week, what you might have noticed, and what you're excited for this week. We're going to debut a segment that we are first doing here now this week, and we like to call it the Pick Six. That's right. There's Dion in the old school Atlanta Falcons jerseys. Check that out, man. A lot of people don't remember that he played for them in the Falcons.
That's right.
But this is a Pick Six. It's basically I'm going to pick six things off of a topic. It could be anything, too. So it could be football-related, stuff like that. I'll try and keep it football-related, but you never know. It could be something totally off the wall. So here we go. This week's pick six is going to be takeaways from week one. Here's my six takeaways from week one. All right, here we go. Number six, the New York Giants are still terrible. Yeah, I mean, that was terrible watching that game, Joe. I mean, I understand what you're saying about Sam Darnold being able to play and do well, and the Vikings still a very good team. But that offense was doing terrible on all phases. Everyone, you know, Daniel Jones didn't have any time. And even when he did, he's stepping up and then still making terrible throws, missing guys, throwing in the dirt, not able to do anything. Singletary did a little, but still nothing crazy. And that defense, you got Brian Burns in there too. And now you've got these guys, you know, Dexter Lawrence did well, but not enough. You know what I mean? You want to see that difference here on that team with the defense, with the pass rusher that they have now, and nothing, like nothing. They just got beat on all phases. They were gifted that one fumble that they recovered, and that's about it. You know what I mean? And they couldn't do anything on offense. But 6 points, I mean, putrid. It was tough to watch. All right, so and even with Brian Daboll calling plays, I mean, some of these, like, third and two, and you're calling a quarterback, like, sweep to the right, I'm like, are you kidding me?
Excellent decision.
But, yeah. Anyways, all right, here we go. So number five and the six takeaways from week one. You can still win a football games without scoring a touchdown, Joe. That happened in two different games this week, all field goals, and end up pulling out victories here. So pretty amazing stuff.
No, that's actually terrible. That's actually terrible. When your offense can't score a touchdown, come on.
Oh, I know. I know. All right, number four. Here we go. For takeaways, the old Deshaun Watson will not be back. He doesn't look very good at all, Joe. He just can't get it together. Same old of what we saw last year. So I don't know. I think they just got to pack it in on him. And now with the allegations that are coming up, people are talking about possible ways to cut him and things like that. So I think those allegations will end up being getting taken care of eventually and stuff like that. So
yeah, we're not going to get
into all that. Well, it's just you know how it goes. You're bringing this stuff up from 2020 when he was on the Texans again.
But here, my thing is, it has to be true for it to do anything. If it's not true, then yeah, it's going to be pushed aside, swept under the rug, just because it's nonsense.
Right, right.
Like we found out that there was multiple females the first time this was all happening, and it was all money grab. Mm-hmm. It was never about getting him put away in jail. He's a terrible person. No, they just wanted money. It was a way for them to grab money. Now you're seeing it happen once again. And I'm not saying that whoever is reporting this is false or it's not true because I don't know the details. But at the same time, it's like we've already done this dog and pony show. Like if it's not true, stop doing it. Like this is just it's just a waste of people's time and money, and it's just annoying now at this point.
All right. We are at now number three here for my six takeaways from week one. You'll always see a fight at a Raiders-Chargers game, Joe, whether it be in the stands or on the field or both in this case and things. These guys just can't ever get along at these games.
I would say that would be true for the Niners and Raiders.
That's true, Niners and Raiders.
Not so much Chargers.
I've seen it in the last couple of years. It's just nuts, man. But I don't know how these fans can't just, you know, get it's a game. You know what I mean?
It's not just a game, Jim. It's a lifestyle, bro.
It's a lifestyle. All right. Biggest takeaways, pick six takeaways here from week one. We got two left. Number two, we found something that Tom Brady sucks at. His first week, it was not very good, Joe. I didn't want to bring
I
up earlier,
am but, Tom the Robot. I can talk to about the stats.
Well, it was almost like he was Joe Buck without the information. You know what I mean? Kind of, because he liked to smile at the camera and do his face and then be pouty and stuff. But then again, when he went to say things, he tripped up a little bit, which I get that. He might have even been nervous, you know, the first week. I know he has been dogged. Yeah, I know, right?
But how? This guy has
a commercial. He's like, here he goes. Oh, back to work. Here we go.
This guy has done commercials. Mm-hmm. He's done press conferences by himself, like him just standing there by himself, you know, taking questions, dishing it out, talking to sideline reporters, doing interviews even outside of football. Like,
right.
This guy's not frazzled by the camera. This guy's not frazzled by being on TV. I just think, honestly, I think – he wasn't really nervous. I think he was not prepared.
Yeah.
And I know it's weird to hear Tom Brady not be prepared because he was always on Sundays. But I feel like that's what the real reason was why he struggled.
Yeah, because it did when it seemed like he went to go to somebody even for like the number, which that's not even his job.
No.
That's, you know, the other guy's job. So I remember him saying even too when Micah Parsons tipped a pass and he got intercepted, he actually said Micah Parsons with the interception. And then multiple times he was called out for the field goal, the 71-yarder they were attempting for not being energetic enough, you know, getting people into it.
Come on.
But that's what's the color. That's the other guy, though. You know what I mean? He's got to do that.
Right.
You know
the
what I mean?
Guy.
That's your, the color guy. That's your Mike Tirico's and things like that. Yep. And just as Chris Collinsworth, he's just got to break down the play and what he saw within that, you know, and just do that. It just seemed though at times he was just soaking up the game, not a lot of words, and just kind of silent through it. So that's all. Which I think will come, but I thought it would be fun to poke a little fun while we can. All right, so finally here for my six takeaways of week one. Number one is – we still can't escape Taylor Swift, Joe. What the hell? Are we going to see
that
this
was gonna
every
happen?
Single time? I know.
Until they break up, we know this is going to happen every single week. And the coverage is crazy.
It is.
Oh, look. She's coming down the tunnel. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
She's not even a player.
She's part of the game. Right.
Like,
yeah,
come
she's
on.
Part of the players or something like that. Yes, yes. So there you go. That's our first ever pick six. a segment that we are introducing here. And we're going to do one every week. It might be football related, might not, but let us know in the comments too if you guys have an idea for a pick six.
I mean,
and we'll put it up there too.
I definitely think one of them should have been like Chiefs and referees are still best
Chiefs
friends.
Chiefs are still in bed. I mean, I'll save that one for next week.
Because it's going to continue. Right?
I mean, that could be it every week, right, Joe? Right. Probably. All right. So, anyways, here we go. We're moving on to our picks now. Our week two picks, Joe.
That's it.
Here we go. We've got Buffalo and Miami, Thursday night football. This should be a good one again, but
short
both
week
teams,
for the Bills.
Short week for the Bills, yes. But and it's Miami. Going to they were slow week one. Let's hope now this week they're getting back in tune, getting ahead of that practice, mm-hmm. and we'll see something a little bit better from both teams here. It's going to be a tough game, but I always go with Miami when they're at home against these cold winter teams mm-hmm. in their division. They've done it multiple times here. Like you said, even Buffalo on their defense losing stuff on there, they're just not as good. I'm going to go with the Miami Dolphins on this one too.
Okay. Buffalo Bills all pretty healthy after week one, so nothing to report there, although they did lock up and give an extension to the right tackle, Spencer Brown. 4-year deal, $72 million, $45 million of that will be guaranteed. So locking up their tackle, their offensive lineman. For the Dolphins, no injuries either, which is good because they have several weapons on there that you kind of are concerned about them getting injured again for a second year. Odell, where are you? Oh, yeah, you're injured. You're yet again can't get on the field. Miami and Miami, this is one of those games where, like, with the slight decline in their defense for the Bills and how what we saw in week one where it literally was just Josh Allen making plays. Mm-hmm. I did like what I saw from the rookie in Keon Coleman. I did. He had some nice catches, some nice plays. But that can't be enough. You got to have more of a running game. You got to have more plays down the field. And I think that's going to limit them to where they're not going to be able to stay with Miami. Once Miami gets rolling offensively, it's going to be hard for the Bills to kind of keep trying to match that. So I'm going to go with the Dolphins at home.
All right. Moving on now, we got the rest of the games here, except for Monday night here on Sunday. The Vegas Raiders and the Baltimore Ravens. Baltimore being at home. Raiders,
I didn't bring it up before,
but you also probably believe on it because you didn't want Gardner Minshew to be the starter.
Nope.
And he did not look good, especially that one flop of a throw that flipped fall off his hands.
Listen,
like, what the hell was that thing?
He does not have a strong arm. It showed week one. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't trust himself. I really do believe, like, after seeing his kind of his body language mm-hmm. in that game, I don't think he thought he was going to be the starter. I think when they announced he was the starter, he was kind of surprised. Now he's not that happy now out there. He doesn't trust his arm. There was several plays where guys were open down the field, and instead of throwing it to them because he wasn't sure if he was going to be able to get the ball there, he just checked it down to the running back. Mm-hmm. And he did not look good at all. This is something that, like I was saying, like, this is not the right decision. And it showed up on week one. And the same thing, too. Oh, they got to have a running game with their new running back in Zamir White. Well, you didn't want to pay Josh Jacobs. Now you got Zamir, who did nothing. Mm-hmm. Their most productive back, believe it or not, was the backup to Zamir and Alexander Mattison. Yeah. So, I mean, that team right now, defensively, Raiders were really good on defense. But offensively, putrid. And if that's what they're going to stick with and they're not going to make a change going into Baltimore – I'm sorry, but the Raiders will get destroyed in Baltimore. Not only do they have to go from the West Coast to the East Coast, it's a 1 o'clock game, but Baltimore, they want a statement game. And this could be it, where Lamar is going to be able to do everything well against the Raiders. Maybe not early on, but as the game progresses and the defense stays out there longer, gets tired, then they're going to just hammer them. And the Ravens defense is going to just absolutely lock it up against the Raiders. So Baltimore all day long in this one.
Mm-hmm. I agree. We got the Chargers and the Carolina Panthers now, Joe. The Chargers, again, we just talked about the Raiders game. Defense looked all right, but a lot of it was gifted by, you know, Gardner Minshew to them. But they definitely, I think, will control the pace of this game. You saw what the Saints were able to do. Yeah. I don't know if the game's going to be that high scoring here this week, but I would definitely take the Chargers here single-handedly.
Dude, I got to say this, too. The Chargers didn't look good either. Like, no, they looked looked terrible. Mm-hmm. Justin Herbert couldn't connect with his receivers a lot of times. The running game was getting stopped by the Raiders defense, obviously, until the second half. And that team does not look good. I thought they were going to look a lot better than they did, and they kind of disappointed me. So this game right here, honestly, is going to be another sloppy game, I think, by both sides, both teams. Bryce Young, hopefully he can get way better than week one, because mm-hmm. If not, it's going to be a long day. They are also missing another key player in Derrick Brown, who is one of their best defensive players. He is done for the year.
Mm-hmm.
That is another huge blow. Not only did they trade Brian Burns away, now Derrick Brown's out of the lineup. So I think the Chargers go into Carolina and win it.
Oh, yeah. All right, next we've got a good game here now after especially what we saw last week by both teams. The Saints and the Cowboys. Cowboys at home. You know Big D's going to be excited for this one. Mm-hmm. Saints, this is going to be a true test here to see what this team really is now with this offense and see what Derek Carr can do against this tough defense here. I'm hoping this is going to be a close one. I think it can be. But I'm going to give the edge to the Cowboys here at home with that defense.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that. I could see it go either way.
But I'm rooting for the Saints.
I like
you know, Joe.
Yeah, of course. But I understand that they took the Browns to the woodshed in week one, and it just beat them right up. Defensively, offensively, they just outscored them like crazy. The Saints is different, though. The Saints is a team that week one doesn't show me enough about this team. Like this week right here, you're right. This is the week. This is the test for the Saints. Is you got to play a premier team in the NFC like the Cowboys. And can you do the same thing? Not saying 47 points. I'm saying can you just dominate them? Whether it be, let's just say if it's 27-10, to me that's dominating. So can the Saints do the same thing against a really good team like the Cowboys? That remains to be seen. I really like the new offense that they got going for Derek Carr. I thought they executed it well. And I look for them to kind of continue the same thing. I know they're going into Dallas for this game. It's going to be a tough environment for them to play. But I gotta say that I like the Saints defense. Marshawn Lattimore's back. Like the whole gang is back with a few additions here and there. I'm going to go with the Saints in this one in Dallas.
Mm-hmm. All right. Next up, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Detroit Lions. Lions at home. Place is going to be rocking. It was week one. The Bucs pull out a victory here, looking good. Baker Mayfield, what a throw to Mike Evans with a guy all over him. And it's kind of funny, too, is everybody's looking back at Baker Mayfield, you know, leaving Cleveland, and now look at how great he is. And maybe it's just Cleveland out there. I don't know. Maybe because there's some kryptonite, quarterback kryptonite out there.
That's what it is.
Dismantles quarterbacks. You know, makes them play terrible. Watch Deshaun Watson move on and go somewhere else and come back, you know. But Baker, what a story here. They look really good going into Detroit. Detroit, I really favor them here because they are at home, too. That defense looks really good. This is going to be a close game. I think
it's going to be a good game.
It's going to be real good. I'm excited to watch it.
I mean, this looks like it could be game of the week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this
is a good game.
At this point right now, it could be. But I'm going to side on the Detroit Lions here to pull together two in a row.
Right on. You know, and that's the thing is, you know, Baker Mayfield, he had his first season with the Buccaneers and had a phenomenal year. Now everyone's like, well, can he do it again?
Yeah.
Can he do it with a new offensive coordinator? Mm-hmm. You know, that's changed. So, and sure enough, week one, man, it was unbelievable how well Baker Mayfield played in week one. It was crazy. All of the weapons, Chris Godwin was getting involved. Of course, Mike Evans was. Cade Otton from time to time. And in the running game, Detroit now, you're going into Detroit. Think about this. You're playing a team that beat out the Rams at home in their opening game. Now they're looking to keep the ball rolling, and they want to beat Tampa Bay. They want to make a statement because both those teams that they're facing right now are good teams. This is kind of like this is a way tougher schedule than what they had last season. So here's another test for Detroit. I'm going to go with Detroit with Jared Goff, who I think is going to do amazing this season. He's already had a good week one. Let's see if he can continue that with week two. Hopefully Amon-Ra St. Brown gets more involved.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Moving on to the Indianapolis Colts and the Green Bay Packers. Green Bay looks really like up in the air now to me because, again, Jordan Love looked really good. You know, last year got the big deal. He is the guy that runs that whole offense out of there. What do they do? Are they really going to try and march out Malik Willis out there? He hasn't looked good in any of the starts that he really has, you know, had with the Tennessee Titans. Well, as far as depth chart, that's all they have, it looks like, here at quarterback, at the quarterback position. So that's struggling here for the Green Bay Packers. I know they're going to play tough defense, but
they are.
I don't know if he's got enough here. So Aaron on the side of caution, even though Green Bay plays well at home. I'm going to go with the Indianapolis Colts with, is it an upset win or not? I'm not sure.
No, I don't think it's an upset because you don't have Jordan Love. Mm. It can't be an upset win.
All right, so there we go.
Malik Willis has his challenges. He's a guy that isn't developed yet as a quarterback. Tennessee's done a terrible job of trying to develop him and basically just gave up on him. And here he is in Green Bay not thinking he would actually have to play. I mean, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. And hopefully learning under Love. But now he finds himself starting this week. What can you do in limited time? He's going to get all the first team reps and all that, but this week leading up, the game plan is going to change dramatically. Look for it to be very heavy run related. Look for it to be short, high percentage throws. Look for it to be even utilizing Willis's legs, where it could be an option play, and then he takes off himself. So watch for the change in the offense for the Packers to give them an opportunity to try to get a win here. But the Colts, I do like their defense. I like the fact that I saw Anthony Richardson week one look better than he did before his injury last season. But I think I'm going to stick with the more solid team, and at least they have their quarterback in the Colts.
All right, now we've got the Cleveland Browns and the Jacksonville Jaguars here. This is going to be, I guess, the two defenses.
Jim.
What's up?
Guess who they signed?
Who?
Kadarius Toney.
Oh, boy.
The Cleveland Browns got Kadarius Toney on their team.
Oh, man.
He's on the practice squad right now, but I'm just waiting for him to be brought up to the roster. Thought you might want to hear that one.
Great. Who did it? The Cleveland, did you say?
Cleveland, yeah.
Oh, that's not going to help. Deshaun Watson can't even get him the ball. You know, I mean,
oh, he can get him the ball.
Yeah, but
need protection.
So this is going to be tough. Cleveland's going to play good defense. I mean, I thought Myles Garrett, he was getting all over the place last week, but it just wasn't enough because, again, you can't do everything yourself. And Jacksonville played tough for a while. This is going to be a tough game to pick. But
I don't like this game. I'll tell you that right now.
No, it's tough here, but I said Cleveland's going to be a playoff team, but do they go 0-2 here? Jacksonville pulling out a victory. I think I'm going to go with Jacksonville in this.
Okay.
Game. I think I'm going to.
Yeah.
Why not?
You can go either way.
They look
way.
Like the more complete team right now, at least, to an extent.
I mean, I don't know.
I don't know what you can see.
That offensive output last week was pretty mediocre, to say the least. Christian Kirk wasn't even involved. You know, I didn't see enough from Gabe Davis.
Yeah, if Etienne didn't fumble though, they had a better shot of winning that game.
Well, that's kind of what he normally does. Mm-hmm. He fumbles the ball. He does turn over the ball in his hands. So,
all right, Who do you got here?
And the fact that I think that this is going to be just a defensive game. We might see another all field goal.
Yeah,
game
right here.
Mm-hmm. Like it might just happen.
Mm-hmm.
And if it does, I think I'm going to go with Cleveland on this one.
All right.
I'm going to go with Cleveland. I think they're going to be getting back their offensive linemen, so that's going to give them a boost on offense.
All right.
I'm going with Browns.
San Francisco 49ers, Minnesota Vikings. Minnesota Vikings took my team out to the woodshed. Sam Darnold played really well, mistake-free football. But, again, you've got Justin Jefferson getting open on these terrible corners and stuff last week.
Mm-hmm.
I don't expect to see that again. They're going to play a good game, but excuse me, I'm going to go with the San Francisco 49ers on this one.
Yeah, the Niners, the only real kind of concern, I would say, like Juwan Jennings, he suffered an ankle sprain in that game. He'll be day-to-day, so most likely he'll play. Christian McCaffrey, that's the one that everyone's going to be focusing on. He's day-to-day with a calf slash Achilles. But Kyle Shanahan said in a presser that this injury, they might rest him longer. Like, he might be out for 2 to 3 more weeks just to make sure that he's 100% ready to go for the rest of the season. So we'll keep an eye on that. And then we got the Niners and the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah.
And then the Vikings locked up their D tackle in Harrison Phillips, gave him a 2-year extension, $19 million, $13 million of that would be guaranteed to lock him up there. He had a great game. He didn't have great stats, but he definitely influenced the line of scrimmage, and that's what he's asked to do. Minnesota Vikings looked really good. Sam Darnold looked really good. Man, this one here, I feel like is going to be a different. This is going to be an interesting game. I think I'm going to go with Sam Darnold with Justin Jefferson in the chemistry that they developed.
Right, back to back Minnesota, huh?
San Fran, very tough team. I just think that the Niners are probably going to be a little bit more physical than Minnesota in this one.
All right, so you're going to go with the
Niners? I'm going to go with the Niners in this.
Okay. All right, we've got the Seattle Seahawks now and the New England Patriots. Patriots surprised a bunch of people here with how they came out. You know, Jerod Mayo got the Gatorade bath. You know, make sure he didn't wreck his shoes. They need to give him a Mayo bath, I think, one of these times. You know, how about that? Fill up a whole thing of Mayo and dump it on Mayo. I think that would be hilarious. All right, but anyways, we got the Seattle Seahawks.
I don't think that would be funny.
Seattle slow starting. I thought they would have played better even. It wasn't until late that they kind of turned it on and pulled out that victory there.
We saw that a lot this week with a lot of teams.
Yeah, yeah. So it was a little slower for them. This is going to be a tough game. I think it's going to be tight. But I don't know. I don't know about New England now. I don't know what to expect with this team. You know what, though? I think I might just go with who I think overall has a better team. I mean, Seattle, Witherspoon on defense. You've got on offense, you know, their wide receivers. I think I'm just going to go with them still just because I think they're more of a sure deal, a sure thing for me.
Yeah, I mean, you look at what they have offensively and defensively. They are very solid on defense, just like the Patriots are very solid, too. Like, they both have really good defenses. And Keon White had, like, an amazing week one game. I can't wait to see if he does it again this week. But Seattle, I would give them the edge on offense. They definitely have the receiving core, the offensive line. I don't know if you can say it's better. It might be the same at this point. But, you know, better depth in terms of running backs. So I think I'm going to go with Seattle, too, as well. I think that New England's week one win was a little bit of a fluke because the Bengals don't like to win in week one. So so that's right. What I'm going to go with. I'm going to go Seattle.
So, all right. Next, the Jets and the Tennessee Titans here. Tennessee, you know, had it, and they let them off the hook. there you go. I mean, that's a perfect description for a lot of these ones. You know, I expect they keep it competitive early, but then I think the Jets pour it on. I think we see Aaron Rodgers really fine-tuned here. That defense needs to limit some of the mistakes that they had. But I'm going to go with the Jets on this one to bounce back from that Monday night loss and get the victory.
Definitely a revenge game for the Jets. I mean, they were in it in the very beginning of that Niners game, and I'm like, oh my God, what am I watching right now? Is it is this seriously happening? But then the Jets, you know, they crashed.
Yeah.
Yep. Nosedived all of a sudden. So the Jets, they got to be pissed. You know, Aaron Rodgers is a perfectionist. He's going to be angry. He's going to want to prove a point that this team is going to be a playoff contender, that these are the teams like Tennessee Titans. They're not proven yet. And they had a chance to win their first game and they kind of let that go. This is a team that the Jets have to win. They got to win this game. So with Rodgers and company, I'm going with the Jets going to Tennessee and getting the win.
All right. Next, the New York Football Giants at the Washington Commanders.
What are the Giants?
The Giants are trash. You know what I mean? Like, it's at this point to where MetLife's got to remove their name from the stadium, and we need, like, you know, Twin Bridges, which we know out here.
Oh, wow.
Or somebody else.
Brutal.
That's a trash removal place to be on the stadium. This is how bad it is. And so I'm going to revert back to my last previous years and picking, and I'm picking against the Giants because I don't expect them to win. And if they do win, then I'm happy still. So I'm going with the Washington Commanders at home to put up more points than the Giants, who are putrid. Here we go. Commanders. Let's get it.
Here we go. Here we go. And here we go to Washington.
Here we go.
So this is the team that I picked in the first week. I thought Washington was going to get their first win opening week. Didn't happen. Jaden Daniels had a good, really good week, actually, fantasy-wise. Like, he had 29 points, so. But
not like Daniel Jones.
But not like Daniel Jones. No, not at all. And that's the thing, too, is we were concerned with Daniel Jones coming into the season. Is he going to make those same mistakes that he routinely makes? Is he going to turn the ball over? And this is what we don't want to see. If you're a Giants fan, this is not what you want. You want this guy to be much better than what he was in years past, and we're still not seeing it. Malik Nabers, now he has a weapon, and he has other guys around him, but we're just not seeing any results. So is it really just Daniel Jones, or is it like the offense that he's in yet again? He's just not feeling it. I don't know. A lot of things point to it's him, because you can change everything else around him, it seems like, but he still remains the same. And with that being said, with Washington, at least they got a little bit of a brighter light at quarterback in Jaden Daniels, guy that can run and throw the football. This is a team that I feel like in week one, they were in disarray. Defensively, offensively, nobody was on the same page. Terry McLaurin didn't do anything. I thought he was going to be like, have a pretty darn good game with him and Jaden. That didn't happen. So it's like nothing really got going for this team. And hopefully, maybe this could be the sloppiest games of all here with the Giants and Washington, but with Washington maybe edging out New York.
All right. The Rams at Arizona. Arizona coming off hot here, starting off hot against the Bills. They're going to be home here against the Rams. Team in the same division. But I think the Rams bounced back after that loss to the Detroit Lions, even despite, you know, the injuries they had on that offensive line and, no Puka Nacua. I think again, the Rams, they're just a powerhouse. So they look really good on all phases. I think they're going to get it done here against the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah. You know, the Kyren Williams is still, you know, he's a really good running back. Now they're going to lean more on Cooper Kupp than they originally would have planned on.
Yep. Hurst looked really good on defense too, by the way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like both rookies, even Fisk, like he didn't have the stats or whatever that was marked up on the board, but he affected the line of scrimmage. He did a good job. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that I came away impressed with is that Rams defense, man. When those rookies get it all locked in, this is going to be a dangerous team.
Yep.
Going into the playoffs, you know, that's that nature, Puka healthy, all that. But I really do like the Rams. I like the Rams this year. I liked them. I mean, you could have picked either team last week and been confident that one of them, you know what I mean? It could have went either way. For this game, though, as much as Arizona put up a fight against the Bills, this is a different team. This is a team that has a much better defense. This is a team that has a little bit more firepower in their arsenal on offense. So I'm going to go with the Rams in this one.
All right, Pittsburgh Steelers and the Denver Broncos.
Ooh.
Wasn't this team. But the Broncos, again, not super exciting, not looking too great here on their end. Pittsburgh, again, getting the victory without a touchdown. It looks like Justin Fields will be the starter again. At least that's what they're expecting with Russell Wilson out with a calf injury.
Yeah, he still got a calf.
Yep. It doesn't look good for them. I know the defense, though, is still really good. It's still one of the top defenses out there. Mm-hmm. So I think this is going to be a defensive game here between these two teams. Normally I would give the home team the advantage here, but I'm going to go with the Pittsburgh Steelers to pull out another victory here.
Okay. I mean, this one, like you mentioned, it's going to be a defensive matchup. It really is. Both teams have really good defenses. The difference, I came away impressed with last week, Bo Nix's efficiency. Didn't try to do too much. Threw it to the guys that were open. And I can't say the same thing for Fields. Mm-hmm. Like, he just made too many mistakes. And I think that continues. I don't think he's a very good quarterback. And that's the reason why Chicago wasn't upset by trading him away. Mm-hmm. So I think that maybe the offensive struggles still continue for Pittsburgh. The defense is going to give them a chance. But I'm going to give the edge to the Denver offense. And keeping it simple, moving the ball with Bo Nix, I'm going with Denver in this one. Probably for the first time
in a while. For the first time ever, I think. Yeah. That might be a new one.
And I hate the Broncos.
Oh, boy. All right, next we got Cincinnati. This might be the game of the week, but who knows? What Cincinnati game are we going to get?
Will Cincinnati come back strong week two?
Right? Who knows?
No.
That is the question, right?
I can't see this game happening any other way.
Cincinnati and Kansas City.
Kansas City.
When they looked at this one, they're like, this is the game of the week. This is going to be great. Nah. You know, Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes square off. Kansas City at home. No. I hope Cincinnati can come back here and play better against these Kansas City Chiefs.
I would love for them to.
Yeah, I think it would be great. But still, now that we're hearing, you know, maybe Ja'Marr Chase might be even sick too or not, but I don't know if that's true or not.
Yeah, he was sick. He played.
Yeah, but so Cincinnati, until they show me they can kind of get back, like I said, they have a slow start. Usually it's the first half, so I think they're going to lose a couple. And it's going to be one of these ones here. The Chiefs at home, they're going to have the refs with them too as well. Taylor Swift's right. going to be there, so she's going to put her 2 cents in. I think they're going to run a couple of her plays that she designed, Joe, just for the Bengals.
I can't wait for her clothing line to come out for the Chiefs.
Yeah, I know, right?
She's going to have uniforms with skirts on them.
Right.
Yep.
It's fitting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I know Travis
will wear one.
Yeah, yes, he will wear 100%. Mm-hmm. It's a kilt. It's a skirt. So Kansas City, I think all day long. I'm not even going to make too much of this. Cincinnati, they struggled way too much in week one to give me any confidence that they can go into Kansas City, a very tough place to play, and sneak out a win there. So Kansas City all day long.
All right, and now here we go. The game that I was telling you about last week, they tried to promote the other night, Sunday night, Chicago and Houston, Texas. They tried to pump it up, but then they actually looked at Caleb Williams' stats.
Oh, right. Hey. Oh, no.
Yeah. Very good. So I think this is going to be a big rude awakening, or even a big awakening for people to see the Caleb Williams here in primetime against a good team, and it's not going to look good. So I think the Texans are going to be able to handle this one fairly easily.
I think the Texans are going to look great.
Yes.
I think that's going to be awesome. I think that Chicago is going to struggle from time to time, but Chicago's defense actually is really good.
Yes,
I get that. Really good. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be the only thing that can kind of give them a chance to kind of stay in the game and maybe potentially squeak out something. But after watching Caleb Williams in college, being totally against him being picked one overall, and now here we are after week one and how he didn't play well at all, doesn't give me confidence that Chicago's going to put up a lot of numbers there.
Oh, with this defense too.
And with Houston's defense, how fast they are, sideline to sideline, in your face.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, constant
Hunter,
pressure.
Will Anderson.
And then Houston's offense. Like, I think as good as Chicago is, like, they're going to have a hard time stopping all of these weapons. So I got Houston in home. In their debut at home, this is going to be electric for Houston, and they're going to come away with that big W.
All right, absolutely. All right, finally here, Monday night football, the Atlanta Falcons and the Philadelphia Eagles. I think this could be a chippy game.
It's a battle of the birds.
These guys always fight, too. Another one there. There's always a get-together. These guys end up, you know, they don't like each other. I don't know what it is. Again, the Dirty Birds against the Eagles. I don't know. But it's going to be a tough game here. I think Kirk Cousins needs to kind of bounce back here. He admit, you know, when he made mistakes here, he's got to get better. I think he will.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a tough game here because the Philadelphia Eagles are very good and they got Saquon Barkley now. I'm going to side with the Eagles because they are at home. They play better at home. They're the better team, I guess, all together. I mean, if you look at their personnel, So I think I'm just going to side on that, but I would be excited if the Atlanta Falcons do pull out a victory here.
I know my brother would be.
And Kirk Cousins, not known for being that primetime guy. You
That's
know,
right.
He just won the end, so
throw that out there. We were saying that in the offseason, how he's got to prove that he can win primetime games. He can win big games. Mm-hmm. And this is one of them. It starts here. Mm-hmm. Like, you had your struggles in week one. Okay, forget about them. It's over and done with. Now it's time to look forward to the Philadelphia Eagles. Can you upset the Eagles in Philly? That would be a sight to see, but I don't think it's going to be enough. I think that the Eagles are so well equipped. They don't really have weaknesses. And and you can make the debate that Atlanta could win this game, and I think they have a chance.
Yep.
I mean, with Kirk Cousins at the helm and everything, but you can't make mistakes. And when you're looking at both teams, receiving core for Atlanta, younger. Receiving core for Philly, veterans. Like, they're really good players, but they're veterans. There's a young versus old in this matchup here. Who can come out on top? I think it's the older guys.
Yeah, and you talk about the Atlanta Falcons and Kirk Cousins. I mean, if they lose here, that's two. They got the Chiefs next.
I'll tell you right now.
And then the Saints. So it doesn't get easier.
No.
So
you might go 0-4 at that rate.
And at that rate, do they decide? I know the fans might be. Do they decide to pull the plug on Kirk Cousins?
I don't think so.
Okay,
you're paying him too much money.
I know, I get that.
And it's not his fault.
Right.
Like, you can't blame him for everything. Like, in week one,
yeah.
Like, yeah, he made a mistake or two. Like, I get it, but at the same time, like, things weren't going their way.
It gets better at the end of the season, but this first half is rough for them.
They got to weather the storm.
Right, weather's a storm, absolutely.
Maybe they can do that in Philly.
All right, perhaps. Maybe.
We'll see.
Perhaps. I would like to see it
for him.
I like Kirk Cousins.
I'm rooting for Atlanta.
Yep.
I like
Why
it.
Why not? All right, everybody.
That concludes
that's
that.
That's it for the show this week. I hope you guys enjoyed it. We went a little over, but that's okay. You know, we got the picks out there. Joe, tell everybody one more time where they can find this video and more like us.
Oh, Jim.
And don't forget, there's the QR code right there. Just
no
scan
problem.
Right there and you can find out.
Yeah, just scan that. There. I don't have to say nothing. No. Listen, if you want to check out, head over to our website, grumblingsmedia.com. You can head over there. You can check out all the shows on their website, political, entertainment, or sports, anything that you're in need of. Also, do us a huge favor. Head over to YouTube or rumble.com. Hit a follow. Hit subscribe on YouTube. Make sure you hit the thumbs up. Make sure you share it to everybody that you know. And don't forget to comment down below. We will react to all comments, especially during our lives. And we will converse with you. We will talk if you want to talk about it. Or if you just want your voice to be heard about a player or team or whatnot, that's what
We're
it's all about.
You.
We're here. We're here. And you can take us with you on the go. So, like, this episode, tomorrow, bring it to your friends at work, you know? Spread the love there.
All
Anywhere
right.
you get it, Apple, Google, Spotify, and Pandora.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you so much, and we'll see you guys next time.